Last Monday, we looked on in stunned sorrow at images of the fire that ravaged the Cathedral of Notre Dame of Paris. As I saw the grand spire topple to the ground, my heart dropped with it. Most of the civilized world, certainly most Westerners and Christians, were at least saddened, if not deeply moved, by the loss of this 850-year-old great wonder of art and architecture. But as I listened to and read reactions from people around the world, especially the French themselves, it seems to me that most people really don't understand what we've lost. French President Macron vows to rebuild in 5 years, but it seems he doesn't really understand what it is that he's seeking to rebuild. Because Notre Dame is not merely a stunning accomplishment of human genius, nor is it merely an historical architectural artifact, nor is it merely a grand monument to the glories and tragedies of French and European history. Rather, Notre Dame was built as an expression of deep and abiding faith in and love for Jesus Christ. Notre Dame was a love poem in wood and stone to God and His Mother, poured out in the sweat and blood of thousands of French craftsmen over hundreds of years, sons and daughters of the eldest daughter of the Church, Catholic France. Now, most specifically, it is an articulation of their Catholic faith and understanding of the magnificence, beauty, and splendor of what we've gathered here this evening to celebrate, the Eucharist. A temple built with human hands and minds, but more than that, built with human faith and divine grace. Now, of course, the first Eucharist was not celebrated in such magnificent surroundings, or with hardly any such outward expression of faith and understanding. In fact, it was a very simple affair, at least outwardly. But we should never let that fool us. Because if we step back and look with the eyes of faith, we see something entirely different in that upper room 2,000 years ago. Think of it. There were present at that table the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, 11 of whom were destined to be the foundational pillars of the church throughout the world. And as Jesus had promised, they were destined to sit on thrones in heaven before their heavenly Father, and as he says, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And of course, the priest at that first Mass was none other than Jesus Christ himself. God the Son, creator of the universe, savior of the world. And there he offered himself to the Father in the supreme sacrifice that was the salvation of the world, as he miraculously made present the very sacrifice of his own body on the cross, as he sort of reached out of time to the next day on Good Friday and placed on the table his sacrifice of the cross on Holy Thursday. His sacrifice of love beyond all telling. Love for us and for the Father. His suffering and death, paying for our sins and the sins of all mankind, from Adam and Eve until the end of time. On that simple table. And so, what happened that night would have seemed to the eyes of man to be very simple. But to the eyes of the angels, it was more glorious than all the magnificent cathedrals in the world put together. Now, the outward simplicity of that night was completely in keeping with the one who was running things that evening. because Jesus never sought to glorify himself outwardly. But he did see and say that it was right and just that others would glorify him. For example, at the Transfiguration, do you remember what happened? Peter, James, and John fell on their faces before Jesus. And he didn't say, oh no, don't do that, because it was right and just. And just 6 days before the Last Supper, the Gospels record, all four of them record, that he allowed Mary Magdalene to anoint his feet with oil that today would cost $45,000. And Jesus said of this, she has done a beautiful thing for me. The outward displays are necessary for the God of heaven and earth. But the outward simplicity of that first Mass might have contributed to the misunderstanding of what was really happening that evening. A misunderstanding by many in and out of the church for the last 2,000 years, but that began that very night. For clearly, though Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, the apostles seemed to barely understand it all. Now, Jesus would have told them that he was going to give them his body and blood, and that his bread would be true food and his blood true drink, and that unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood, they would not enter into heaven. And so, when he said those words, this is my body, holding the bread, this is my blood, holding the chalice, they probably had some idea and some faith. But clearly, it was woefully incomplete. Because instead of falling on their faces in adoration as at the Transfiguration, there's not one word of them even acknowledging what he'd done. And then, just a few moments after having received First Communion, literally, just a few moments, Judas left the room to sell Jesus to the high priest. And over the next 3 to 6 hours, Peter would deny Jesus that he even knew him. And 9 other apostles would abandon Jesus to the cross. Clearly, they did not have a very strong faith or understanding in Jesus, much less in the Eucharist. Of course, after the resurrection, all that changed. They came to understand not only the meaning of his passion, death, and resurrection, but also the entirety of his gospel, including the ineffable gift of the Eucharist. So that the Acts of the Apostles tell us that the first Christians, from the very first days, it says, devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread. And as we read in today's second reading, St. Paul tells us the established belief of the early church. He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Now, for the next 3 centuries, poverty and persecution would force Christians to continue offering Mass with few outward signs and displays of grandeur. But it's very interesting. Once the persecution stopped, we quickly saw the development of rich and elaborate liturgies, as well as the dedication and building of beautiful churches in which to celebrate. In fact, in the year 313, the year that the persecution of Christians officially stopped in the Roman Empire, the palace of the rich Laterani family in Rome was given to the Christians of Rome to be used as a church. This beautiful, magnificent palace. And today, that church is the Cathedral of St. John Lateran, the Cathedral of Rome. Over the centuries, as the church's understanding of the richness of the Eucharist continued to grow and deepen, so did other churches become more and more beautiful. Churches built all over the world, all over Europe, in the United States, here. as did the vessels, vestments, music, and liturgies become more beautiful. Sadly, though, just as there were sinful men at the Last Supper, there are always sinful men in the church and at Mass. So sometimes, while the external beauty of the Mass remained, the interior lives of the faithful fades. And that leads to many problems, but two I can think of tonight. First, to some, the lack of interior understanding of the faith. To them, the beautiful churches and liturgies became meaningless. And so they tried to redo them to appeal to their confused or faithless hearts. And so many times we see once beautiful churches gutted and redecorated to look like modern theaters rather than beautiful temples. And we see once splendorous liturgies rewritten to be more entertaining to those weak in faith. And then second, much like a church where the facade remains beautiful while the hidden wooden beams and girders decay and rot away and no one sees that, in the same way, sometimes Catholics that eternally hold themselves out externally to be the most holy, especially some priests and bishops and cardinals, internally, they have little or no faith or true love for Christ, much less His Blessed Sacrament. And so on the outside, they're pretending to be holy and kind and charitable, but on the inside is rot. When the fire of the devil's temptations comes, it quickly engulfs and destroys the rotted timbers of their souls, just as the flames destroyed Notre Dame. And so the destruction of Notre Dame Cathedral reminds us of what we can so easily lose sight of: the glory, the magnificence, the awesomeness of the Eucharist. But it also reminds us of a second sacrament that Jesus instituted that same night at the Last Supper: the sacrament of holy orders, or which we usually just say the priesthood. Just as with the Eucharist, the great sacrament of the priesthood was also not fully appreciated that night. The 11 apostles who betrayed, denied, or abandoned Jesus after the first Mass, all of them were brand new, newly ordained priests. And within 6 hours, all but one had in some way abandoned Him. They did not understand that He had not only given them custody of the most blessed sacrament, but that He had also ordained them to be His personal representatives to the world, to stand for Him, as we say, in persona Christi, wherever they go. So they did not understand that, like Him, they must not merely wash each other's feet, but they must live a life dedicated to sacrificial service, united to Him, to Him who came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life on the cross as a ransom for many. So that when the priest says, "This is my body which will be given up for you," it is, of course, primarily the words of consecration of the Eucharist. But he's also stating the pattern of life that Jesus calls every priest to live out in their own bodies, every day, giving up their own body for the church in union with the crucified Christ. They did not understand this. But again, after the resurrection, they and the whole church came to understand, appreciate, and embrace the great gift Jesus had left them in the sacrament of the priesthood. So history tells us that the 11 apostles remaining went on to give their whole lives to Jesus, first by going out and proclaiming the gospel to everyone they could every day of their lives, and then finally by being martyred, or in the case of St. John, imprisoned for their love for Jesus. And we read that the people also understood the gifts, as the Acts of the Apostles tells us. Just as the early church devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread, it also tells us at the same time they also, quote, devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And as the years passed, we saw the outward signs of appreciation of the sacrament of priesthood grow. We saw, for example, Christians begin to call their priests Father and Reverend. And we saw priests celebrating Mass wearing more beautiful vestments, not to adorn themselves, but to adorn the priesthood of Jesus Christ and the Eucharist. But again, just as with the beautiful church and with the Eucharist itself, too often the interior is neglected. And like 11 of the 12 apostles, newly ordained as priests, too often priests, bishops, and cardinals betray, deny, and abandon Christ and their priesthood. All this we remember tonight at this Mass. We remember the night Jesus gave us the awesome gifts of the Eucharist and the priesthood. But we also remember the lack of faith and understanding of these gifts that all of us, in large ways or small, all too often manifest. Tonight, as we prepare to commemorate the Lord's suffering and death on the cross on Good Friday, on this Holy Thursday, we stand in awe of the love that Jesus reveals in his crucified body and pours out in his precious blood. And we're overwhelmed that he would allow us to share in this love at this Mass and at every Mass, to stand at the foot of the cross, to participate in his salvific sacrifice, the new Passover of the new covenant, through the sacraments of the Eucharist and holy orders. Let us accept the grace Jesus gives us tonight to always understand and believe in these sacraments and appreciate them as precious treasures of our salvation. May we continue to give our Lord Jesus beautiful outward signs of devotion, adoration, and worship of himself truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, whether this be through beautiful churches like Notre Dame and St. Raymond of Peñafort, or beautiful vestments, vessels, liturgies, hymns, prayers, and gestures. But above all, let us always accept the grace Jesus gives us in the sacraments, so that even the most beautiful of these outward signs will only be so much wood and stone and metal and fabric compared to the true and profound devotion, faith, and love that our Lord Jesus sees inside of each and every one of us. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.